And it is 9 minutes after six on this Friday morning from WSMI FM 106, part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by Farm Credit Illinois. And right now we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. We'll start off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from yesterday. May corn finished up 2.5 cents to 365 1/4. July corn was up 2 1/4 to 374 1/4. And September corn finished up 2 pennies to 382 1/2. May soybeans were up 7 3/4 to 906 1/2. July beans were up 7 1/4 to 919 1/2. And August beans finished up 7 1/2 to 925 1/2. Chicago wheat for May was down 0.25 cent to 470 3/4. July wheat was down 0.75 cent to 473 3/4. And September wheat was down 0.5 cent to 481 1/4. Soybean meal for May was up 90 cents to 311.90. July bean meal was up 70 cents to 315.40, while August bean meal was up 80 cents to $317 per ton. Finally, soybean oil for May was up 40 cents to 29.20. July bean oil was up 39 cents to 29.52. And August bean oil was up 39 cents as well to 29.67. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's cash grain reports.
This is Thursday's report, grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mostly higher on Thursday afternoon. Optimism over U.S.-China trade negotiations buoyed soybean values. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents higher, 323 to 350. Soybean bids were up 6 to 7 cents at 814 to 856. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents higher, 332 to 350. Soybean bids were up 8 to 9 cents at 842 to 868. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady at 328 to 359. Soybean bids are up 8 cents at 837 to 868. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are 8 cents higher at 872 to 887. Basis is steady at 3500 to 20 under the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 289.90 to 301.90 a ton, up 90 cents a ton, with basis unchanged at 2200 to 10 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 3 cents higher, 350 to 364, with basis steady at 1500 to 1 under the May. Illinois river barge flooding elevators coated to producer corn bids 2 to 4 cents higher, 352 to 358, with basis mixed at 1300 to 7 under the May. Soybeans ended up 11 to 12 cents at 858 to 865, with basis up 3 to 4 at 4900 to 42 under the May. New crop wheat prices are down a penny at 444 to 464, with basis steady at 3000 to 10 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal levies placed their producer corn bid steadied up a penny at 373 to 374. These elevators raised their soybean prices 6 to 11 cents, quotations at 882 to 883. Soft wheat closed up 7 cents at 502 to 503, and Milo ended the day 3 cents higher at 384 to 385. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 337 to 362, soybeans at 854 to 885. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 349 to 363, soybeans at 875 to 899. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 327 to 367, soybeans at 864 to 895, and wheat for June, July at 445 to 478. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle were up $1.77 to $127.55. June live cattle gained $2.57 to $121.57, while August live cattle gained $2.45 up to $118.22. Feeders for April were up $1.57 to $146.32. May feeders gained $2.80 up to $150.07, and August feeders were up $2.85 to $157.20. Finally, in lean hogs, April lean hogs were up 50 cents to $79.57. May lean hogs were up $2.42 to $90.82. June lean hogs were up $3 to $79.85. And July lean hogs were up $2.97 to $100.25 a head. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the national daily direct hog report, calculations for 200-pound park acres traded $1.15 higher in a range of $67 to $78.50 with a weighted average carcass price of $76.37. In the Illinois direct sow port, slaughter sow prices were $1 higher with good demand for light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows, 100-400 pounds, traded $36 to $44. 4 to 5 weighted 39 to 46, 5 to 6 weighted 42 to 48, and over 600 pounds, $45 to $50. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices are barrels and gilts. Country buying points were firm, with good demand for moderate offerings ranging from $46 to $56. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $19,036. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on live basis traded at $124 and on address basis at $200 to $205. Choice heifers on live basis traded at $123 to $127.50 and on address basis at $204. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 282 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $82.22, which is $1.96 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $226.74, which is 60 cents higher, while select carcasses were $218.36, which is 61 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 121,000 compared to 117,000 last week and 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 477,000 compared to 479,000 last week and 466,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by Farm Credit Illinois. Part two of the Morning Ag Show is next. 20 minutes after 6 on this Friday morning, part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you. Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. Critical disaster funding remains stalled in Congress as losses continue to rise. The Senate has rejected two versions of a bill this week that would send funding to the Department of Agriculture to assist producers affected by natural disasters in 2018 and 2019. R.J. Carney, American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director, says lawmakers are at odds over humanitarian relief for Puerto Rico.
The House of Representatives has passed a supplemental disaster assistance bill. In the Senate, the bill is currently stalled. There's disagreements amongst Republicans and Democrats with regards to the amount of funding allocation for Puerto Rico.
The House bill does not include the expanded disaster assistance added by the Senate. Carney says AFBF supports both the inclusion of funds for disaster recovery in 2018 and 2019 and the efforts to help Puerto Rico with a humanitarian crisis. Meanwhile, losses in the Midwest are expected to rise.
Losses total more than $8 billion between the catastrophic weather events that occurred in 2018 and 2019. The flooding in the Midwest, those assessments are still underway, and we expect that total number to increase.
Carney says lawmakers need to put their differences aside and pass a disaster assistance bill.
Farm Bureau calls on Congress and the White House to support farmers, ranchers, and rural communities that have been impacted by these catastrophic weather events and move past this political impasse. Discussions continue across the chambers and with the White House on a proposal that will be able to pass both the House and Senate and also be signed into law by the President.
Again, that was AFBF Congressional Relations Director R.J. Carney. In other national news, the Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service will release the 2017 Census of Agriculture results on Thursday, April 11th at noon Eastern Time. The full census report will include millions of data points, including number of farms, land in farms, total value of production, demographics, and more at the national, state, and county levels. The report, along with a report of related publications, will be available on the NAS website at nas.usda.gov. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says the date will help inform decisions about ag education, research, farm programs, rural development, and much more over the next several years. The 2017 census report will include new information on military service, food marketing practices, and on-farm decision-making. USDA says these additions help better capture the roles and contributions of beginning farmers, women farmers, and others involved in running a farm enterprise. The first census of agriculture was conducted in 1840 in conjunction with the decennial census. The decennial census has been conducted in years ending in zero since 1790, as required by the U.S. Constitution. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois reaffirmed his support for year-round E15 sales earlier this week. In a meeting with National Corn Growers Association CEO John Doggett, Durbin, an Illinois Democrat, says he would continue to push the EPA to not delay in allowing E15 to be sold year-round. He called the policy change good for the environment and good for farmers facing financial headwinds. In October, President Trump committed the EPA to lift summer restrictions on ethanol blends up to E15. The EPA must issue the rule by June 1st to ensure that E15 can be sold at retailers this summer. In the last Congress, Durbin co-sponsored the Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act, a bill that would allow the sale of E15 year-round. During the meeting, Doggett and Durbin also discussed the importance of trade with Mexico and Canada, soil health efforts, and the NCGA's recent partnership with the Environmental Defense Fund to help farmers achieve economic benefits from conservation and climate practices. Volatile might be the easiest term to use when talking about the weather so far this year, and spring planting is rapidly approaching in the nation's heartland. Ryan Martin is a ag meteorologist from Warsaw, Indiana, and he says it will likely be late April or early May before planters really begin to get rolling.
Now, it's too early to really be talking about huge planting delays. I mean, after all, we've got plenty of time. We're not even at first planting dates in a large part of the Corn Belt just yet. But as I look at how the pattern is stacking up all the way from the plains across the Corn Belt, we've got a system that wants to move through here the next couple of days. You've got a big weather system that wants to hit this weekend, late Sunday through Monday into early Tuesday. We'll take a little bit of time off, not a lot of good drying time, but we don't see a lot of new precipitation through the end of next week. And then we could see another 11 to 16 day forecast window that has potentially 1 to 3 inches of rain coming across all of these key areas. So flooding and current situations aside, the forecast going forward to me doesn't give you enough of a window anywhere in there to really start planting en masse.
Unfortunately, flooded areas in Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri won't get enough of the dry weather they were looking for.
I don't think so. Unfortunately, the way the pattern looks here over the next 10 days, I'm counting two systems that come through, one that doesn't have a huge amount of rain, but the second one actually could bring you a quarter to an inch, maybe an inch and a quarter, if things work out just right, which normally we'd be fine with, but we're just not in a situation where we can handle that the best yet.
The southern plains will likely see some thunderstorm activity as some planters are moving in that part of the country.
To me, this is an area where the pattern shows more of a thunderstorm kind of scenario. So fronts coming through, they're not going to be fronts that sweep through and hit everyone. I'm looking at these fronts now through about 3 weeks from now, ending up with probably about 60% to 70% coverage out of each one. So I think you're going to be seeing a little bit more of a hodgepodge of guys able to go. And once the crop is in, getting rained in, it doesn't look too excessive to me. The pattern for the heaviest rain wants to stay a bit farther north, the Central Plains, Missouri Valley, Corn Belt.
Some of that thunderstorm activity in the southern plains will make its way east into the deep south.
I think so. I think eventually the Delta is going to be looking at on again, off again rains. The interesting area is going to be that deep south. So we'll go a little bit farther. Alabama, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, up into Tennessee. I think we're going to be looking at temperatures lagging a little bit there. So it might be able to spur some thunderstorm development. But honestly, I guess I'm not as bullish on rain or bearish on being able to get this crop in the ground in the deep south as I am, again, farther north.
The western United States will likely have some issues to deal with because of a large amount of snowpack. Martin says that kind of issue will likely show up all the way into the upper Midwest this spring.
Farther west, not so much. I mean, we're seeing some moisture in spots. I think the big story out west is going to be less meteorological with new systems coming in, but more dealing with some of the snowpack that we see. And I'm going to draw the northern plains into this as well. The Red River likely to hit a major flood stage area in eastern North Dakota and western Minnesota here later this week into the weekend. And you've got snowpack that goes all the way back up through Montana and up into some of the northern Rockies. So I think you're going to be seeing here the story be how quickly does that move? I mean, do we see a really big, fast snow melt with temperatures above normal? That could be the story more than actual new systems coming through. Temperatures are still kind of squirrely. We've seen the temperatures in the northern plains lag because of the snowpack that's been on the ground.
Again, Ryan Martin is a ag meteorologist from Warsaw, Indiana. And finally, on this Friday morning, I had a short interview with Don Hendricks, the Vice President of Lending at Farm Credit Illinois' Highland location. Here, Don talks about Farm Credit's Fresh Roots program.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Gabe. The Fresh Roots program is a young farmer program that we designed about a year ago. The problem is, with young farmers, they usually don't have the resources for a larger down payment for ground, or they can't afford to make the interest payments on high-priced farm ground with low grain prices. So what we've done is we, a lot of times, will partner with the FSA Young Farmer Program. In that program, FSA will finance 45% of the purchase price. The farmer will have to put in 5% of his own money, and then Farm Credit or another lender would put in 50% of the purchase price. That way he can come up with a much lower down payment, which helps him get the land financed.
And that would turn it then into a more or less a mortgage over X amount of years, correct?
That's correct. Normally, Farm Credit or the other lender would loan 50% of it with a first mortgage over, say, a 30-year period. And FSA, I believe they put their 45% over a 20-year period at a very competitive interest rate of 1.5%, I believe, is their current rate. What we do with the Fresh Roots program also, in addition to partnering with FSA, is we normally offer a discounted rate for young beginning farmers as well under our Fresh Roots program.
And also, too, with this being offered here with Farm Credit in Illinois, I'm sure there's probably other programs throughout the country that are similar, but how is it maybe different here in Illinois?
That's a good question, Gabe. I'm not 100% familiar with the other programs, but I know some of the key points to our program is we do offer a little relaxed standard, like if you are a normal full-time farmer that's been farming a long time, we might be more restrictive on the credit than we would be for a young farmer because we know he doesn't have the resources built up yet. Another part of the program is we ask the young farmers to do some budgeting as far as like a business plan and a cash flow budget in order to be eligible for the program. And I think that's a key part of the program because it helps the young man or woman to learn about the financing of the operation. It helps them to make more of an informed decision on whether to buy the ground or not buy the ground.
And then, too, as you were saying, with the current prices of grain and other things like that, would you say that this program has maybe been a big benefit lately? Because before we were having some pretty good prices in the last 5 to 6 years, but lately it seems that this program would especially be helpful with today's grain prices.
That's correct. With the lower grain prices, it's a lot harder to pay for the ground. Two advantages to the program is one, the lower interest rate, plus our willingness to go 30 years on a farm mortgage. Typically, we do a 20-year amortization, but by spreading the payments out over 30 years, that keeps your annual payment lower. It helps you cash flow better until prices improve.
And I'm sure, too, you've seen a lot of young farmers take advantage of this. Has there been an uptick in younger farmers that take advantage in this?
It seems like I've done a lot more. I'm speaking for myself personally, but I think that's the same association-wide, that there's been a lot more young farmers actually apply for loans in the past year to purchase ground. And I think that has a lot to do with it, the fact that we're willing to schedule the payments out longer and give them a reduced interest rate to start with.
Would there be anything else you'd like to mention about the program that maybe we didn't touch on?
There is another part of the program. You know, I mentioned as far as doing like balance sheets, business plans, and cash flows. We do have incentives. So if you are a Farm Credit customer, and it doesn't matter if you have a loan under the Fresh Roots program or not, but if you're just been farming for less than 10 years and you're under the age of 40, if you attend some of our Farm Credit classes as far as financial management or crop insurance, marketing, we have certain courses. They're on our website, farmcreditil.com. But by attending those courses, they can earn cash incentives for up to $2,000 per person. And that's always, everybody can always use a little extra cash in their pocket as well. And the courses themselves are very good. I've been to a couple of them.
And if somebody would be interested in getting together on learning more about the Young Farmer Program and everything you guys have to offer, how could they do so?
Well, they can give us, the best way would be to give us a call here at the office. It's 618-654-4815. You could also email us at highland.loan@farmcreditil.com.
And again, that was Don Hendricks, the Vice President of Lending at Farm Credit Illinois in Highland. For this Friday morning, April 5th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.